Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson. Oh, am I going to do it?
Yeah, you got
to
do it.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, one of two known pro wrestling podcasts that count things down. There might be more. We don't know.
We're not entirely sure.
So
you'll have to forgive me this week. My voice is shot. Like, at certain points during the podcast, it sounds fine, and then I get it back and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But we're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, SoundCloud.com/Steven Larson, and hopefully cross your fingers soon to be Spotify. We've recently learned that there's no guarantee.
No guarantees. But there is a guarantee that you can find us on YouTube.com/Steven Larson. That's our YouTube channel. Everything we do is on there.
I didn't point this out the first time, but it was great when we did the, I think, either the Dirt Sheet or NXT. I forget which one this past week.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you can find us on YouTube.com/Steve Larson.
Oh, I didn't say and.
I think you might have it was a very truncated.
Sometimes I speak quickly.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm a fast talker
Steve
sometimes.
Steve Larson. And we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Neither of these shirts are there. That's a Sasha Banks shirt. This is an old school shirt of ours. But we've got four really good designs.
Quality designs, more to come.
That's right. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. You can get this postcard. You can watch live streams. You can get a comic book, all sorts
shirts.
Of stuff. Yeah, shirts. And you're making the show better. Really give a strong shout out to our patrons out there making the show better.
Yes, thank you very much.
However, this is Count Out. This is our one of two. This table's a mess, man.
It really is.
One of two countdown shows we do during the weekend.
Correct.
Yesterday, what did we talk about?
We talked about wrestlers who ended up being better off after they were in the WWE.
Guys who were just better off without the WWE.
Correct.
In their lives.
Correct.
Well, this week we want to take a look at wrestlers who we feel should have a title sometime this year.
Yeah, we especially after Bray Wyatt finally captured his first singles title.
Correct.
In the WWE.
And
it got us to thinking about other wrestlers who this year should claim titles.
That Universal title's probably going to find its way around Goldberg's waist and Brock Lesnar's waist. After that, there's a lot of moving pieces in that particular picture, but that would seem to be the maybe one logical path if they really want to push Goldberg as Universal Champion or as World Champion going forward with his short run in the WWE now that he's 50 years old. But that got us thinking, you know, what other wrestlers out there this year we feel are on the precipice really would make sense for them to win a particular title. So we found 10 wrestlers and 10 titles that it would totally make a lot of sense for them to capture. And we'll start off with number 10.
10.
The villain, Marty Skrull.
He is currently the Ring of Honor television champion.
Right.
But it seems like, based on his current career trajectory,
his star is on the rise.
It is that by the end of the year, it would make sense for him to claim the Ring of Honor World Championship.
Absolutely. Currently, it's held by 3-time Ring of Honor World title holder Adam Cole, baby.
Who is also a heel, correct?
That is correct.
So, unless they're going to have a heel versus heel feud, there needs to be some sort of transitional champion in between.
You know, let me correct myself on that. He's a heel. He could be considered a tweener,
yeah,
I guess.
Because he's kind of a beloved heel, right?
Well, he's Bullet Club. People love him. People like when he says things like, suck my D, you know. I would imagine, yes, I would think that had Kyle O'Reilly not decided to,
not re-up
with Ring of Honor, then he would have been a good face, strong face champion for Marty Skrull to perhaps take on and capture that Ring of Honor world title. Like we said, he's the current TV champion. Now he's going to be facing, I think, Leo Rush coming up pretty soon for that. And, it kind of makes sense. His career, like you said, his career trajectory is going upwards and strong. And I just bought one of his shirts. And
yeah, so as did I, because we had heard a lot about him. I'd seen a little bit of his stuff. And we saw him at the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show we just went to.
Yeah.
And seeing him in person is a completely different experience than seeing any of his work on video.
Right,
Because you really, you get to hear all his little chatter with the audience.
Yeah, everything. Fantastic. Yeah,
you get to pick up all the little details he puts into his matches. All these little nuances that he does, you can only really appreciate live.
His in-person charisma is off the charts.
Yes.
It's off the charts. And so it makes me wonder, I mentioned this last time we talked about him during the PWG show, it makes me wonder if it's not necessarily you can only enjoy him live, it's you get a better appreciation for him live, and when you go back and watch him, like on a pay-per-view or whatever, then you sort of, you're already in the know, and so you can appreciate him more.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting the DVD of the PWG show
me too.
And watching it and seeing how well it translates.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because being there live is just an amazing experience all around.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah, Marty Scurll, huge things for him in 2017.
Oh, absolutely. And I would think that the Ring of Honor World title is probably going to be
one. Well, when Adam Cole reclaimed the title from Kyle O'Reilly at Wrestle Kingdom 11, Marty Scurll tweeted a picture of, I believe, his television set with Adam Cole holding the belt.
Yeah.
And just tweeted, interesting.
Oh, yeah. So there you go.
There you go.
Destined to happen.
Yes.
Number nine.
Nine.
Enzo and Cass. Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw.
They are currently the number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championships.
They never captured the NXT Tag Championships. Nope. They got called up. Although they had, it seemed like they had plenty of opportunity to do so.
They did have several title matches. I don't think they're going to win those belts at Fastlane.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they took them off Gallows and Anderson at WrestleMania.
Well, you know, the New Day are hosting WrestleMania, so chances are they're not going to be involved in the title scene anytime soon. You've got three really strong tag teams in that Raw television program, and they're the only ones who have not captured the titles yet.
Correct.
I think this would be a great feel-good moment at WrestleMania if they do capture those tag team titles.
Yeah, I almost kind of wish they had... First of all, Enzo and Cass, they probably should have been drafted to SmackDown.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then, you know, give them the tag belts when they brought them over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
When they introduced the tag team belts in SmackDown, give them directly to Enzo and Cass. Have them be top team on your brand.
I think you're right about that because they...
Because it seems like ever since the draft, they just kind of been mired in subpar feud after subpar feud.
That's true, and they also... So you've got all these silly gimmick tag teams over on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that.
No.
They immediately came in and came off like veterans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they were ready for prime time well before they left NXT. And so I agree that they probably would have been better off on SmackDown. Smaller pond, they're bigger fish. They probably could have really anchored that, I think, better than American Alpha. You know, it would have given them a little bit more breathing room to develop a little bit more, because they did. The American Alpha came up way too early from NXT.
Yeah, probably.
And so I think it would have made SmackDown a much more interesting tag division. Nevertheless, Enzo and Cass, they seem to be inserting them into that title scene right now, and I think that would be a huge win for them at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and going back to, you know, them, that kind of WWE that is not striking while the iron was hot. During their match Monday on Raw, or following their match Monday on Raw, when Enzo was delivering a promo and Sheamus brogue kicks him.
Yeah.
And a portion of the crowd starts chanting, "Thank you, Sheamus."
Yeah.
"Thank you, Sheamus." That wouldn't have happened 6 months ago.
No, I agree.
Especially if they got the belts on him. I think they just, they've not been utilized to their fullest for so long that people are starting to become somewhat apathetic about them.
Yeah, I know. They need something. They need those tag titles.
Yeah.
I think
if
that'll
they
probably
get
help things.
In a couple of really good programs.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Number eight.
Eight.
Pete Dunne.
My pick to be the very first WWE UK champion. WWE UK champion.
Yeah.
I've got to say the E there, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't quite happen, but it probably will happen at some point this year.
I think the only reason it didn't happen is because they wanted a face to win.
Yes.
Pete Dunne is not a face.
No.
He's like a very, very good heel.
He's an excellent heel.
And on top of that, he didn't need to win, because I honestly think his star shined brightest coming out of the UK tournament.
Yeah.
Regardless of if he had that belt around him.
No, I agree with that. Anyways. Tyler Bate needed that belt to establish himself as a star.
Right, exactly.
Whereas Pete Dunne could do that strictly through his performance.
Exactly, yeah. He had a fantastic match against Mark Andrews this past episode of NXT this week. And once again, he proved why this guy's going to be, this guy's $1 million. He's going to be huge. It's funny because we were talking this past week in one of our episodes about who would be, if Triple H did, if this is indeed a faction that Triple H is building,
a new evolution,
who could be the future? And you and I completely blanked on Pete Dunne, and everybody on Twitter to this day, this morning I wake up and like three people on Twitter, hey, it should be Pete Dunne.
100% correct.
Absolutely correct. Pete Dunne's going to be around for a very long time, and it's going to be fantastic to watch him. And I feel like he's absolutely next in line for that UK title. Yeah. It makes complete sense. Tyler Bate is a face. He is the number one heel in the UK division, if you want to call it that. I absolutely see him taking it off Tyler Bate.
Yeah, once they get the UK programming
sorted out.
Yeah, whenever that gets going, whether it's through ICW or Progress or some WWE subsidiary.
Yeah.
This will be the first, you know, like huge feud, I'm guessing, is going to be Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
And Pete Dunne at some point, I can't see him not getting that belt.
It makes me wonder, though. I wonder, it'd be fascinating to know this. To me, he's been the obvious standout star of the UK tournament. No disrespect to Tyler Bate. And no disrespect to Trent Seven, who I think is, I'll be completely honest with you. Coming out of the UK tournament, seeing both UK matches on NXT, I think Pete Dunne and Trent Seven are the two guys who have shown like enormous amounts of charisma and the ability to put on fantastic matches. Makes me wonder if the WWE are like, yeah, we're gonna launch this UK thing, but Pete Dunne isn't gonna be there very long. And like he feels like he should be on main roster already.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He feels like a main roster guy
he
already.
Does.
And it makes me wonder if there's any sort of debate going on as to we want these guys for the UK thing, but you know that's not a huge priority for us. We want some studs for Maine.
Yeah,
you know we want to get some of these guys over here. I think probably less Trent Seven and more Pete Dunne, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just see. I absolutely believe that once they get, like you said, once they get this figured out, the UK programming, Pete Dunne's capturing that title.
Oh yeah,
number seven.
Seven.
Baron Corbin. You know why, Larson?
Why?
Because Baron Corbin.
I still understand that.
I have no idea what that means, Baron.
So, Baron Corbin is currently in a feud with Dean Ambrose, which will lead to a match at WrestleMania, I'm sure, in which Baron Corbin has a very good chance of claiming the Intercontinental title.
It's a pretty hot feud right now. Like, I'm really anxious to see. There's, I think, five more SmackDowns left.
Yeah.
I'm really anxious to see how they kick this up.
They've been doing a very good job of building up Corbin as a monster heel. SmackDown.
They've been building their storyline through other... Well, you know, through Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, through the Battle Royal.
Through all that stuff. Like, these two are hot for each other. It's great.
Yeah. So, it's a near certainty that Baron Corbin is probably going to be the Intercontinental Champion by the end of this year.
Yep.
But the way things are going, it wouldn't be a surprise if he claimed the WWE title by the end of this year. On our episode of Dirt Sheet this past Friday.
Yeah.
I believe it was Dirt Sheet. Someone asked us early... predictions for Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Money in the Bank, I believe, is a SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah, it is.
So we thought about it, and we both, I think, said Baron Corbin.
Oh, I thought about it for like maybe half a second.
Yeah.
It was just, it's Money in the Bank is going to be Baron Corbin this year. I mean, you brought up AJ Styles, like, yeah, maybe. But Money in the Bank is usually for guys who are like on the way up and need to win the title.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm going to say it's Baron Corbin. The only roadblock, and to me, week by week, it's becoming less of a roadblock.
Yes.
But the only roadblock I can think of is the WWE draft. If they decide to redraft, if you bring Roman Reigns over to SmackDown or Seth Rollins over to SmackDown, then they instantly become guys who they might would prefer put the WWE title on.
See, but I think it'd only be a real issue if they brought over Braun Strowman.
Okay.
A heel
okay.
on the same level or higher level than Corbin.
Okay.
They can bring over all the faces they want.
True.
Faces need someone to feud with.
Yeah.
Corbin right now is one of your top two heels.
I know.
On SmackDown. And by the time the draft comes around in July, and if they invest as much time as they have been in Corbin and more, put the IC title on him, have him in a couple really good feuds, by the time the draft rolls around, he can be a legitimate world title contender.
Here's the thing about Corbin, though. When Corbin talked shit to The Miz, people cheered the living shit out of Corbin.
Yeah.
Corbin could be turned face so easily. Now, they're not going to do that against... They couldn't do that against, like, Seth Rollins. But if Corbin stepped in there, if he stepped up to a Roman Reigns,
oh yeah,
people would be cheering the shit out of Baron Corbin. They really would. Braun Strowman even.
Oh yeah.
If they brought him in. So I think that, yeah, I think you're right in that his chances go down if you bring in a monster heel, because that's typically his wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
But
his wheelhouse.
Wheelhouse, thank you, yeah. But I think that I hope that they're high on the guy.
Yeah.
And well, it feels like they are.
Yeah, all indications seem to be that they are.
Yeah. So yeah, Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year, cashing the Money in the Bank briefcase as champion.
Boom, he's there.
Yeah.
Number six.
Six.
Ember Moon. I've had her song stuck in my head
all day.
It's
a good song.
It's a good song. It's a quality song.
Yeah.
Look, Asuka is...
She can't be NXT champ forever. She's going to be brought to the main roster at some point this year, probably.
You would think it's going to be after WrestleMania.
And one thing I really noticed about the triple threat match in this past episode of NXT.
Yeah.
Ember Moon, Liv Morgan, and Peyton Royce is, as you mentioned, Ember Moon tried her best to make Liv Morgan look good, but they also, during how that match was booked, they tried to keep Ember Moon out of the pinfall in a very believable way that didn't make her look bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it took her going into the ring steps, like four kicks. She got to hit her finisher on Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Before getting kicked out of the ring again.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like it made her look bad.
Yeah.
The fact that she didn't win that match.
Right.
Because they're just protecting her. So when she finally gets her opportunity down the line in a 1-on-1 match, become number one contender, she will win it.
Yeah. I think that I honestly think, I firmly believe that I hope the Raw after WrestleMania, we're going to see Asuka's call up. There's the potential, I suppose, that we could see it on the SmackDown, but I think I prefer Raw.
It might be after WrestleMania. I wouldn't be surprised if it's during the summer.
Oh, really? You think they'd wait that long? It wouldn't surprise me if Nikki Cross picked up that title at TakeOver. They at this point, it's like, okay, if you take it past Mania, it might be a little too long. It's like, that's a little bit too long. I think that Ember Moon's path is going to go through Nikki Cross. It's not going to go through Asuka. I don't think they're going to do an Ember Moon-Asuka thing. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, you never know.
One, nobody's going to be cheering for Ember Moon. They want people to cheer for Ember Moon. Asuka's a tweener.
Yeah.
But people love her because she kills everybody.
No, I know.
And I just think that, and on top of that, it preserves a feud a year from now. With Ember Moon versus Asuka, it preserves that, because you don't really want to see that. You know, that's one of the problems with sort of NXT right now, especially in the women's division, is that you want to be careful with. You can only bring up four women at a time so often. It's like you had, you know, Sasha Banks, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch, who had all feuded in NXT. They all came up at the same time, and then you saw it again. Bayley comes up. She had a feud with everybody, and you see that again.
Yeah.
You can only do that so much, so you're going to need to space out some of these ready for prime time.
Oh yeah,
kids.
Yeah,
you got to space them out a little bit. And so I think it'd be wise for them to give Nikki Cross Insanity, take that belt off Asuka, because Asuka's not going to be able to battle the odds against Sanity, against freaking Haas Damo, Alexander, Crazy Alexander Wolf, and
Eric Young,
Ty Dillinger. We want you. I love that dude. Anyways,
but the thing about seeing it, even if Asuka drops the belt at TakeOver before Mania, it seems to be the time-honored NXT tradition. When you drop the belt, you got to lose a rematch too.
Yeah, and she can do that. You know, Sanity's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that definitely lessens the odds that she'll debut on the Raw or SmackDown right after Mania. It'll probably be more likely this upcoming summer that she debuts.
I think Sasha did that. Sasha did double duty. She dropped it, went to Raw, and then had a rematch afterwards.
Did they have their rematch with Bayley when Sasha was on the main roster? I thought they were both still in NXT.
Hmm. Sasha was on main already.
Hmm.
I think. We can double check that one, but I'm pretty sure. So anyways, yeah, Ember Moon, she's going to win that NXT title as soon as it comes off of Asuka. Nikki Cross is not going to have a long run with it. It'll be Ember Moon shortly after.
By Survivor Series. TakeOver Houston, November.
Yeah.
That's gonna be, I have a feeling that's going to be a huge takeover.
Well, your number two entry here is going to prove that out.
Yeah.
Number
five.
Whoa.
Sami Zayn.
Let's go. Sami Zayn. Yeah, Sami Zayn, he will have the U.S. title by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I really firmly believe that.
There is an outside chance that he could be the Universal Champion by the end of the year, too.
Sami, I'm telling you, man, Sami Zayn is the inverse of Bray Wyatt. He's a face that will always be believable.
Because that's his character.
Look at how they booked him against Kevin Owens this week. The only reason Kevin Owens was able to beat him so handedly is because Samoa Joe literally murdered Sami Zayn before.
But that's Sammy's character. Every time he gets knocked down, he gets back up.
His character, he's a loser who doesn't know when to say.
Losing wrestler.
Right, he's a loser.
Underdog.
He's a poor wrestler.
No, he's not a poor wrestler. He just happens to lose.
Yeah, a lot. He loses a lot, but he never says die. He never stays down.
Yep.
And that's good.
He can go on a run of winning some matches.
Yeah.
Have them when he's facing the U.S. title holder at the time, whether it's Jericho, probably won't be. Kevin Owens, maybe.
Yeah.
Have him lose a couple times.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Sort of like, you can go back to their entire feud, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. First match, Kevin Owens destroyed him. They had to stop the match. It was a TKO finish.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, second
terrible
time.
Terrible wrestler, Sami Zayn.
About the same thing. And then finally, when they had their blow-off match and their feud on the main roster at Payback, I want to say, last year.
Yeah.
There was that great moment where Sami hits two haluva kicks on Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Picks up the win.
Yeah.
Great match, great feud. That's a feud that they can just restart right away.
Absolutely.
And everybody be into it.
Everybody be into it. And I like that they sort of string us along a little bit. They keep it fresh like they did. You know, they had them fight last week.
Yeah.
It reminds everybody. And so they do that every once in a while. They remind you what's going on to make this all the bigger. And according to Jim Cornette, Kevin Owens is Sami Zayn's agent.
More or less.
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Kevin Owens is going to be kind of an architect behind Sami Zayn being bumped up there with him in the main event scene. I think that's going to happen.
And that'd be great because Sami is great.
Sami is great. He's the best wrestler who has the gimmick of loser, just terrible wrestler.
Not terrible wrestler, losing wrestler. You can be a capable wrestler and still not win a lot.
Right. No, it's called a loser.
It's called a losing wrestler.
And if you're losing, let me ask you.
What?
What's the point of wrestling? What's your goal?
Well, the point of pro wrestling is to put on a good match.
No, what's your goal? What's your goal?
Kayfabe to win, yeah.
Okay. Somebody who doesn't win hardly ever.
I wouldn't say hardly ever. His record is probably around 500.
It's not 500. You're crazy.
It's probably about 500.
It's not 500. Let's see. In the comments.
You don't watch Main Event or Superstars.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
If
he
had
exactly.
on there
okay,
to win.
You're right. Exclusively on Main Event of Superstars, probably like 75%.
Maybe. Which makes up
might
for
actually
his,
be closer to 90.
Which makes up for his probably like 30% winning percentage.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Okay, we're good. Number four.
Four.
Samoa Joe.
He will be the Universal Champion. I hope he will beat Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam if Lesnar ends up getting the belt at WrestleMania.
Which seems to happen. Yeah, seems to be the case.
Which
yeah.
could happen. Samoa yeah. Joe getting that belt at SummerSlam would
absolutely.
Be awesome.
At that point, do you foresee
the first guy to beat Lesnar in like a hard-fought match in quite some
battle.
Time. Yeah.
At that point, do you see Kevin Owens turning face and taking on Samoa Joe? I think I do too.
Because I think Triple H's grand plan he's enacting right now is all in an effort to get the belt on Joe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Joe is Kevin Owens' replacement.
This is going to be really interesting. Like after WrestleMania, we always say that after WrestleMania, it's going to be very, very interesting. I think we said that last year too.
Well, we say it every year because the Raw after WrestleMania
and it ends up being very interesting.
Is when they kind of hit the reset button on a lot of feuds, start new storylines.
It's like the season premiere.
Yeah, it kind of is.
But yeah, Samoa Joe, as soon as he hit Raw, and it's funny, Triple H tweeted out a picture, as he always does, of him and
NXT graduate.
NXT graduates. He says this is right where he belongs, in the main event of Raw. Main event of Raw is the Universal Championship, so we're going to get a lot of
and
Joe.
And all the work Joe has done since being brought up to the main roster is evidence of that he belongs in the main event because he's been doing awesome work.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That interview we had with Michael Cole,
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
All of his little details, all the trash talk he
this
does.
This is your world now, Sami Zayn.
Beating people up. Great. I love Joe.
Sami Zayn, your gimmick is bad wrestler.
Losing wrestler.
This is your world.
Samoa Joe can say, my gimmick is winning wrestler.
Exactly. See, now you're getting it. Now you're
no,
understanding.
I already
where I'm
got it.
From.
I already understood
you didn't
it.
Until I illustrated it for
I
you.
I did understand it. I understand the point you're trying to make.
Oh, yeah. Number three, Shinsuke Nakamura. So you have him here down for the Universal title.
Well, I guess it could be WWE title.
Yeah.
Depending on where he goes.
This is going to be very interesting to see where Shinsuke debuts. because you already have Samoa Joe on Raw. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the world is not big enough for both these guys in the same show.
I know. But then you have Samoa Joe and Finn Balor in the same show, so you can be said for that.
Do we?
Well, as of now, we do.
As of now, we do. I don't know. This is going to be really interesting. Like, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Finn Balor have a very distinct lineage, if you will, of strong NXT champion.
I know.
And does the WWE feel like there's enough room for all three of these guys on Raw?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But we'll Triple H out. Said Shinsuke has a clear path to Raw. How are they going to do that? I don't know, man.
Well, there'll have to be some trades or something, a draft.
Yeah.
In the months following WrestleMania.
And Samoa Joe going to Raw just messed up the entire thing.
Yeah, I know.
It messed up everything. Shinsuke's red. Finn Balor's red. They belong on Raw. Samoa Joe has some red in his trunks sometimes.
He has wore red trunks at times.
Sometimes they're yellow.
Sometimes they're green.
So yeah.
Never blue, though.
Never blue.
At least not on NXT.
That's true.
So...
Yeah, you were about to say something.
I forgot what it was.
Interesting.
Wherever Shinsuke goes, if it's Raw or SmackDown.
Shinsuke is not a young man.
No. Within this year, he will win that show's top belt.
Yeah, he really kind of needs to.
Well, just imagine if AJ goes to Raw then, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Raw will have basically everybody.
Yeah.
Save for Bray.
Yeah.
So there's going to have to be 3 to 5 top-tier talents that move from Raw to SmackDown. If that's in the cards, if AJ going to Raw is the plan, if Shinsuke going to Raw is the plan, if Joe and Finn all staying on Raw is the plan, then they're going to need to send Roman Reigns.
The Shield is going to have to, like, the WWE circa 2014 is going to all have to be on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be the Wyatts, the Shield, Cena, Orton.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to have to be all them, and then it's going to be... So Raw is just going to be NXT from 2015.
Yeah.
NXT 2015, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I mean, look, they've got the draft in their back pocket. They still can do trades, although it's kind of interesting we haven't seen that
yet. Not a single one.
You have to kind of appreciate how they've stuck to their guns in terms of the roster.
Yeah.
You know?
Even though SmackDown got the run to the deal coming out of the draft.
So to speak, yeah.
Yeah.
Vince, in the conference call, of course, said... It'll be interesting now if somebody like Roman Reigns shows up on SmackDown.
Yes.
And they're like, why did you use that example? Oh, because this morning I woke up and I wanted Roman Reigns to be on SmackDown. I can't do Vince.
On SmackDown!
There you go.
But the thing, if Shinsuke ends up on SmackDown, feud with AJ Styles. That'd be great.
Of course, yeah. Who would want to see that?
You had a feud with Randy Orton. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Feud with Baron Corbin. That could be good.
Yeah, good.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, we all want to see Shinsuke Seth Rollins at some point,
Here's
too.
Here's the thing, too, dude, is that the WWE, they need to treat Shinsuke like a royalty.
Yeah.
Because they've got all this great talent over in New Japan watching very closely.
Oh, I know.
Watching very closely. So,
and I think Shinsuke going to SmackDown, SmackDown knows, for the most part, how to best utilize their talents.
Yeah.
On a fairly consistent basis. Raw is a little more hit or miss.
Yeah. It's a thin line on both brands, to be honest with you, because, you know, you got AJ as world champion for a while. And then, you know, the flip side of that, he loses the belt and fights Shane McMahon at WrestleMania, if that is the plan.
But I don't know how much of that is actually the SmackDown creative staff's call versus Vince saying, this is what the WrestleMania card is, make it work.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true. So, I don't know. I mean, hopefully they'll treat him. I just want him to be treated like the king he is.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes.
But either way, he's getting either the world title or the universal title by the end of 2017.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Number two.
Two.
Ty Dillinger.
10.
I choose you.
To be number 2.
Hogan.
On this list, because they've been laying this story out for months now.
Yeah.
And it'll culminate later this year when Ty Dillinger beats Bobby Roode for the NXT title, I think, during the TakeOver Survivor Series weekend.
I think
it'll be exactly
right.
1 year from their match at this last, not the last TakeOver, TakeOver before last in Toronto. It just seems like it's perfect symmetry for their story. And I think that's what's going to happen, Steve.
Let me ask you something.
What? It could be SummerSlam weekend, but I think it's going to be Survivor Series.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So Takeover's coming up. Takeover, the Mania Takeover's coming up.
We got to assume it's going to be Bobby and Shinsuke again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what's going to be. In terms of Ty, though, you're thinking it's going to be Ty versus
Eric Young. Sanity of some sort.
After that, what does he do for SummerSlam?
Who's the secondary or a secondary heel?
Almas. I know. He's already done that.
I mean, they could start their storyline.
Bobby Roode's not young. They might want to fast track him.
Could be.
Especially like how obviously polished he is, obviously over he is.
He didn't even have to go to NXT, period.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if after this takeover, we saw them fast track Ty versus, like, Sanity could be the final, the penultimate level boss, if you will. You know, before he, that gets his confidence back. Sanity is sort of it's a distinct contrast between him and Ty, you know?
Yes.
It's like everything that Ty doesn't want to be is represented in Sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's like his way of confronting his own inner demons.
Could be.
In wrestling form.
Yes.
Before he goes on to take on Bobby Roode.
That could be.
Maybe.
It'd be interesting to see if they spell that out that clearly.
I don't know.
So far, they really haven't.
No, not really.
But I was just trying to think of
he hasn't ever said, no, deep down inside, I'm a squatter. Deep down inside, I'm a homeless squatter guy.
But I just couldn't think of in terms of top-tier heel talent. No, NXT, I know. There's really Bobby, there's Sanity, and there's Almas. And I'm drawing a blank on who else there might be.
Unless they did something, so he's sort of loosely teaming with No Way Jose and Roderick Strong, unless they turn Roderick Strong heel.
Yeah.
Because Roderick Strong kind of comes off as like a baby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you turn, you could easily put Roderick Strong, flip him, and he can be in that sort of Bobby Roode territory.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be very interesting. But it wouldn't surprise me if he captured it at the SummerSlam.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah. Number one.
One.
Kenny Omega. We get crapped on in the comments so much for Kenny Omega.
Why?
Not so much. This is a vocal minority. Like, all these guys care about is AJ Styles and Kenny Omega.
Well, they're the two best wrestlers in the world.
I know. I don't know why they would have any problem with us talking about Kenny Omega.
I know.
Anyways, Kenny Omega, we all thought he was going to win at Wrestle Kingdom, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Yes.
He did not.
No.
And then there was some drama surrounding his contract. Will he sign with WWE? Won't he? It was won't he.
Yeah, he announced shortly before the Rumble that he was going to fly back to Japan middle of this month, February, to negotiate a new deal.
New deal.
And apparently they reached a deal because he has been announced for the Honor Rising shows coming up Sunday, Monday, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Shortly after his loss at Wrestle Kingdom, I believe it was Dave Meltzer speculated that they might be saving his title win to, what is their main summer show? Is it Dominion?
Yeah.
I think it's what it is.
Yeah, Dominion. It's in June, I think.
Yeah, in June. The show that is right before the U.S. Shows in Los Angeles.
Right.
Put the belt on him then.
Yeah.
Have him participate in the two G1 preliminary shows in Long Beach, July 1st and 2nd. And to kind of kickstart this global expansion that New Japan has planned.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that, and he said this, and it's pretty obvious that if they really want a successful U.S. outreach type situation, they're going to need Kenny Omega. He speaks both languages. He's, you know, there's a lot of, as much as Okada deserves at least 50% of, you know, the praise that match got, the people seem to be focusing on Kenny Omega quite a bit more.
I know.
And so it makes all the sense in the world for them to put the prized heavyweight title around his waist. Bullet Club, they might be interested in pushing them again.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it makes all the sense in the world that by the time we see them live in Long Beach this July, Kenny will be their world champ, New Japan world champion.
Yeah, I want to look up something real fast. There was, I think Forbes had a list of the top sellers on pro wrestling tees, and I believe Bullet Club was still top five.
I know Young Bucks was in there.
It was second. Young Bucks were second. Behind Stone Cold, I believe.
Oh, my gosh. That's insane. Hear me pull it up.
This is from Forbes.
We need to start doing a lot more designs.
Hold on a second. Oh, sorry, there were three. Bullet Club was two. Stone Cold. Stone Cold was one.
Okay.
Bullet Club was two.
Continue. Who else?
Young Bucks was three.
Okay.
Omega 4.
Oh, yeah.
Macho Man 5. Ooh. Shinsuke 6. But that must have all been in January before he signed.
Jeez. That's impressive.
CM Punk, AJ Styles, again, probably the same.
Yeah.
Mick Foley and the Hardy Family.
Interesting.
Skrull's 11.
Skrull has such good,
yeah,
amazing designs.
Chris Hero 19, Joey Ryan 20, Chris Jericho 18.
I think it's Scott Ollie's number 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Bullet Club, huge sellers of merch still.
Yep, yep.
So even though they're not as popular in Japan as they used to be, they're still a hot commodity here in the States.
It's an iconic brand, man. I was even watching, when I was watching NXT yesterday, plenty of Bullet Club.
There was a lot of people wearing the Kenny Omega 8-bit cleaner shirts.
Yeah,
there was at least three of them I saw.
Yeah, yeah. And at PWG, we went there. Yeah, lots of Bullet Club out there. With guys like Cody Rhodes, his Bullet Club shirt probably was a big
boost. That was a top seller when it was released, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it was a good-looking shirt, too. It makes all the sense in the world. Kenny Omega, he's picking up that New Japan World title, that's
mm-hmm,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in the year 2017, probably in June. We can't wait to see it. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty neat.
It will be pretty neat.
That's right. Anyways, this is the last thing we're filming this week.
Yeah, we're tired. It's been a long week.
Very happy Steve's about sick. That. My throat needs me. It's gassing out, man. It's gassing. It's tapping out right now.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So anyways, that's it for Count Out. Be sure to check out yesterday's episode. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.